The Parshat Tzav, beginning of Parshat Tzav, continues in many ways what was going on in the Parshat Vayikra. Different karbanos and different general dinim of karbanos. Please take. Up until the end of Shlishi. The end of, then from Revi'i and on, the beginning of Parakas, the Pesuka move into the discussion of the Miluim, Kachas, Arman, Zbanav, and here's how you're going to induct them into the Kahuna. So at the end of the Mitzvahs Ledoros, at the end of the Dinim of Karbanos, the first half of the Parsha, the Pesukim Parak Zayin, the Aliyah of Shlishi, ends with the two Pesukim. Number one, the positive pasuk says a pasuk that sets up one of the great piyutim that's coming our way soon. Zos ha'torah lo lov la mincha la chatas v'lo asham v'la miluim lo zevach ha'shlamim. One of the great piyutim of the Shalosh Regalim is rooted around, is built, the chorus is built around that pasuk. That's really wrapping up these first seven prakim of Chumash Vayikra. That the foregoing has been the basic dinim of the Ola and the Shlavim and the Yashami and so on and so forth. Asher, and here we come to Pasuk Lamed Ches, about which the Ramban will have plenty to say. Asher Tziva Adonai es Moshe Bahar Sinai. This is the Torah HaKarbanos, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe Bein on Har Sinai. V'yom Tzavoso es B'nei Yisrael HaKirvet Karbanehem LaHashem B'mid Bar Sinai. The day that he commanded Klal Yisrael to bring the karbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'mid bar Sinai. Shetziva Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai. The Ramban picks up, you see. Pasuk Lamed Ches. What's shot in the wrap-up? You find these from time to time, these wrap-up sukkim at the end of a major chunk of halacha. Torah step back and say, this has been, and oftentimes we make the mistake of sort of skipping over the psukim because they don't seem like they're any dinim. We don't see the colorful content that we expect to find. We make the mistake at our own peril, at our own cost, of ignoring psukim, sort of zoning them out. Both Vayikra and Bamidbar end with a pasuk, one of which the Gemara Megillah says is one of the most important psukim in terms of Ikari Amuna. Elahad, both of them end with an Elahad Dvarim pasuk. These have been the dinim that the Kadosh Baruch Hu taught. One says Bahar Sinai, one says in Ohel Moed, but these are the dinim that Kadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu. A sign off pasuk, the Gemara says in Megillah, Elahad Dvarim mikan shei novi rashai al chadash davar meyata. Elahad Dvarim, these are the mitzvahs. Well, why is that pasuk necessary? We already told you all the mitzvahs. Each one said, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lema. I know that these have been mitzvahs that Kadosh Baruch Hu has taught Moshe Rabbeinu. What's added? So the Gemara says it's a miut. Eila hadvarim. These specifically, as a mikan she'enav rashayin l'charash dar miyata. That teaches you that a Navi doesn't have the right to present new dinim. That's one of the Ikari Emunah. That Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNaviim. Moshe Rabbeinu's Navu was supreme and of a sort unlike any other Navi. And that may sound sort of abstract, but it's incredibly practical. Why does it matter so much, the nuances of Moshe's Navu and others' Navu? Because that no HaKadosh Baruch Hu builds into the Chumash that he does not plan to have ongoing revelation. He builds into the Chumash there will be no other mitzvahs conveyed from Shemayim. And from this point on, once Moshe Rabbeinu dies, all of the development of Halacha is going to be through analyzing what we have and working with the cord that we have. And any Navi who comes and says, Kadosh Baruch Hu came to me and told me, here's mitzvah number 614. Or Kadosh Baruch Hu came to me and told me, you should get rid of a couple of mitzvahs. Or Kadosh Baruch Hu told me that now we're going to tweak and we're going to change, we're going to modify the mitzvahs, al pi nevua, we reject him on his face as being inaccurate. Look, as soon as that Navu is presented, we know right away that's a Navi Sheker. And why does that matter so much? Two words. Christianity and Islam, right? Are both based on the doctrine of what the Muslims call waqf, the abrogation or supersession. Yes, their apikursus is yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, or to Moses or to Musa, but then later on, they claim, Rahman Tzlan, that then he came to Yeshu or he came to Mahabad and said, that was all nice, but now we're changing the game plan. So we say, if you accept the Chumash, built into the Chumash is Ela Hadvar. Built in the Chumash is Lo Bashamayim. Built in the Chumash is that Kadosh Baruch Hu told us in advance, he does not plan to give ongoing revelation. This is a one-time event. Not one time, one moment in time, but 40 years. For the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu, the red phone was active, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would, in an ongoing fashion, convey Torah, new chunks of Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Imdu ve'eshma, Moshe Rabbeinu even says, you have a good shayla, I'm not sure, wait, let me ask the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll get back to you. Okay. That's the ultimate elevated to higher authority. So, and Rambam writes at the beginning of the Hakidama to Perish HaMishnah, which is a work that would be kedai to learn at some point. Maybe we'll have the chance this year. The Hakidama to Perish HaMishnah is really sort of a history of the development of Torah Shavah Peh. Halacha, Haggadah. So Rambam writes there that the greatest turning point in the entire history of the Halacha, of 3,500 years or so, of the history of Torah, the most critical turning point, the most fundamental change, was 40 years in. The death of Moshe Rabbeinu was the most dramatic change of all. Because up until that time, the first 40 years, while Moshe Rabbeinu was alive, so there was Torah was being conveyed through ongoing nevuah, through ongoing revelation. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu built in at the time, this is going to end with the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's that, and going back to what I said before, that's a significance, now that's the practical significance of that Ikar and Amunah, of the supremacy of and uniqueness of Nevuah Moshe, because that's what lays the groundwork for understanding that there is no ongoing revelation. Maybe ongoing inspiration. There was 1,000 years of Jewish Nevuah, but no ongoing revelation. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us particular temporary instructions. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us inspiration to follow the Chumash, but no changes in the system of Halacha are available via Nevuah once Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. So that's those, the Gemara says Ela Advarim, the discussion whether that it refers to the Pasuk which ends by Yikra or the Pasuk which ends by Midbar. Chumash by Yikra or Chumash by Midbar. One or the other, or perhaps both, is the intent of that Gemara. So that's again an incredibly important wrap-up Pasuk that we might be tempted to sort of just ignore. Yeah, okay, these are the mitzvahs. No. These are the mitzvahs. That's one of the, far from being a Rachman Litzlan, we might look at sort of, it's hard to even say the words, a throwaway pasuk. Yeah, it's chazara. That's one of the most critical pasukim in all of Chumash. Now, with that in mind, let's look at another wrap-up pasuk. This is not closing the entire Chumash HaYikra. This is closing the first 7 prakim of Chumash HaYikra. All the key din of Masa HaKarbanos. The Rama will refer to as Masa HaKarbanos. So what does this mean? Asher tziva Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai. And does that, number one, what's the significance of it? Shaila, what's the significance of it? And Kasha, what's shver about this? For those who were Mavra Sedra last week? Even if you didn't get that far. Even if all you did is learn the first Pasuk of the Rashi, the first Pasuk of the Chumash HaYikra. Or even if you still in the first part of the Chumash HaYikra, the Chumash, but you were paying attention. Rashi doesn't let you miss a very important aspect of that first pasuk. Yeah. Har Sinai, Ol Moed, which one is it? That was the whole opening of HaYikra. Now we're moved past Har Sinai, now the deeper is going to be Ol Moed. And here, this is wrapping up the first 7 prakim, which began with that opening pasuk, Kadosh Baruch Hu's Kori to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ol Moed. And now all of a sudden it's Bahar Sinai. It says Ramban, Al Derech Rabbi Seinu. Chazal interpret, Ki Chol HaMitzvah Sibir Pasuk Lamed Ches, Perek Zayin Pasuk Lamed Ches, Shatziva Hashem Es Moshe Bahar Sinai, Al Derech Rabbi Seinu, Ki Chol HaMitzvah Namru Lamoshe Bahar Sinai, Koloseim Protein V'Diktukayin, V'Nishnu Mehen Ba'ol Moed. So the Gemara has a discussion about this. And the Gemara presents the perspective, at least one perspective, that maybe everything was chazed over 3 times. Gemara points out that you have three locations that are used over the course of Chumash as the bylines for the conveyance of mitzvahs. You have Har Sinai, and you have Ol Moed, and you have number three. Number three is, it's been a while since Chumash Dvarim, Arvas Moed. There's a giving of, there's a conveying of Torah at Har Sinai, there's a conveying of Torah over the course of intervening years in the Midbar, Ol Moed, and then finally, Chumash Dvarim is Arvas Moed. They're already encamped, they're finally moved around after close to four decades, just moving in a, so circling in a holding pattern. During year 40, they spent a couple months shooting all the way up northward, dealing with different neighboring countries, the countries that were along the east bank of the Yarden, some they had diplomatic relationships with, some they had military engagement with, Sihon and Og, they were Canaan and kings. Then they come back down to near the southern end of the territory they had captured from Sihon and Og, and they're encamped Arvos Moab, the plains of Moab. It had formerly been Moab. Then, as the Gemara points out, it was captured by Sichon, and then the Jews captured from them. But they had been originally Moabi land that the Jews had taken possession of subsequently. They're in Arvos Moab, the plains of Moab. If you're ever at the En Gedi, you can look across. If you're along, if you take Highway 90, you can look across the Yarden. You can see Arvos Moab. See the flatland, that's where Klal Yisrael were encamped. That was the last location, that was the location of Moshe Rabbeinu's final drush at the Klal Yisrael, which was took a month and a week. Starts with Chodesh Teves, ends Zayin Adar, that's what it says in the first Pasuk in Dvarim. He begins Rosh Chodesh Teves, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, excuse me, Rosh Chodesh Shvat. That was the third giving of Torah. Sinai, Ol Moed, Arvos Moav. So it says, so Chazal have the idea, the one approach in Chazal, is that everything was chazered three times. Everything, the big picture and the details, was taught three times to Moshe Rabbeinu. So here you go. The mitzvahs of Vayikra. It's true they were taught Ol Moed, and it's true they were taught Har Sinai. Derech Pshat. Derech Pshat, he says, there could be another approach. Why does it say Bahar Sinai? And then the end of the Pasuk says, Bimid Bahar Sinai. Shiuro asher tzivo Hashem es Moshe Bahar Sinai. Uviyon Savoso es Bnei Israel Bimid Bahar Sinai. He says, maybe it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. And then Moshe Rabbeinu subsequently taught the Jewish people Bimid Bahar Sinai. What do you mean? Because part of the Ma'aseh Karbanos had been already taught in Har Sinai, in Chumash Shemos. Siva b'miluim b'har Sinai. Siva b'miluim b'har Sinai. Now you already have Chumash, Milu already mentioned Chumash Shemos in Parshas Tetzaveh, and there are references to some of the Karbanos there, Ola and Chavatas. Mincha, Asham, Ziv, Cheshtomim, is on b'miz b'har Sinai b'ol mod. So as Ramban says, other way of looking at it is maybe there were different chunks. There were different chunks. They were taught in the different places. And then he said, that's number one. Again, so two approaches so far. One is that there's some Tanam of the opinion there was Chazar. That everything had been taught all three times. That's what Machlokes the Gemara has. Was everything taught all three times in detail? Or maybe the column were said in one place and then the Prakim were laid out at a later time. As an aside, the Shechter sees in this Gemara responds to one of the most common types of kfira about Tanakh, Bezmanazah. One of the most common types of apikursis about Chumash is the assumption that there were multiple authors who wrote different pieces, and ultimately everything got sort of mushed together into Chumash. Now, whether you think there's one human author or multiple human authors, either way, that's apikursis. I'm not sure that. Could we believe the entire Chumash was written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dictated word for word, for letter to Moshe Rabbeinu. But the most common form of the kfira of believing nowadays, the last 150 years, the kfira of human authorship of Chumash is to say there are multiple authors of different documents that all sort of got blended together. Now, so number one, a lot of the questions upon which that theory is based are built on the assumption of human authorship. Assuming that the questions are even substantive, some are somewhat substantive, some are not.
But the assumption is a human author wouldn't be able to write in such a wide variety. A single human author would not have written in such a wide variety of styles. If you look at divine authorship, anything is possible. So that's number one. The Kfir is built on the assumption that after human authorship, so then presumably there are multiple human authors. That's Aleph. Okay. So many of the questions don't hold a lot of water on their own. Number two, the questions generally don't hold a lot of water once you accept divine authorship. Number three, Shefter has pointed out several times in the past, you know, Chazal say in conjunction with in discussing the Meraglim, that every sheker that has a kiyum has to have a kernel of truth. A sheker that people will believe, that will have a staying power, tends to have some kernel of truth, and then it's exaggerated and elaborated, and a lot of sheker may be built on one germ of, you know, it's 5% emes and 95% sheker, as opposed to 100% sheker. So he said there is this kernel of truth to it, because what these Tanaim are saying is that there were multiple documents for which the Chumash was crafted, except that all those documents written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and were blended together by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As Rashi Shefter puts the documents A, B, and C. There was the Har Sinai. Point to this approach, in the Gemara, that everything was taught, all the mitzvahs were taught thoroughly, Kolam and Pratim Dikdukin, Har Sinai, and Olamoid, and Arvas Moab. So that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught all of Tariq Mitzvah Moshe Rabbeinu in three different versions, and then Besof Yom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, now we're going to take a piece from here, a piece from here, and here's what we're going to edit down to finally form Chumash in its final form. In which case, it is true that Chumash is formed from multiple documents, but with obviously a very critical difference. Chumash was crafted divinely from three divine documents. That's something important that everyone's back pocket. And that's the background, that approach in the Gemara with the sensitivity, again, to the bylines, is what Ramban is working off of. Yitachin, and then he says another point. In addition to the one approach, is that everything was taught three times, and the second approach that maybe when we say Har Sinai, referring to Ola Chassis, which already taught somewhat in Chumash Mos by Har Sinai. Approach number three, Yitachin, he taught by Har Sinai, but Makom Hazel of Har Sinai. Maybe Har Sinai has not been used here in a technical sense. But on Har Sinai, it means after they had already moved into the Mishkan. But Makom Hazel of Har Sinai, they were encamped at this location near Har Sinai, which is Olam Moed. After all, bear in mind, they build the Mishkan where they're located. Right? When do they leave Har Sinai? What date? Very good. Very good. The 20th of Iyar, as it says in Chumash. They were there for a year minus 10 days. It says in Yisro, they showed up to Har Sinai, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and we learn in, I believe, Parshat Bahaloscha, that they only leave almost a year later, the 20th of Iyar. They brought a Karim Pesach. The first Karim Pesach was in Mitzrayim, the second Karim Pesach was in Midbar Sinai. So this is all happening. Mishkan is finally put up in a permanent way, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and remains standing for 50 days. Before they move, they remain staying from Aleph Nisan to Chaf Iyar. So Ramban says, approach number three, it could be both. It was already being taught by Olam Moed, but at this point, the Olam Moed would be moving with them, but for the first 50 days, Olam Moed was still also happened to be next door to Har Sinai. You'll tell me what Behar Sinai means on the mountain. He says, I'll prove it to you. Olas Tamid Ho Asiyu Ab Behar Sinai. They did the Olas Tavid, they did the Bronze Carbon Tavid on the mountain? I don't think so. Ki enenu bahar mamish. Olas Tavid lo hizchilu ba rak ba olam oed. After the Chumash says, v'zeh asher tasal mizbeach. So, what do you see? The Behar Sinai can mean in the low area of Har Sinai. It doesn't have to necessarily mean the mountain mamish. V'echein, v'yesu mehar Hashem. They travel away from Har Hashem. Rav l'chem Hashem es bahar hazeh. Har doesn't necessarily mean on the mountain. It could be in the whole national park that surrounds the mountain. That's all the area of Har Sinai. So to come to Har Sinai, to leave from Har Sinai, to be in Har Sinai could mean either the mountain itself or it could be the location. So three approaches to how to make sense of the Bahar Sinai in this passage. Does it mean, again,
that there were, it was taught in Har Sinai and again Ol Moed? Or does it mean parts were already taught in Shmos, Har Sinai, and parts were only taught Ol Moed? Or does it mean, no, Har Sinai here doesn't mean Har Sinai Mamash, it means in the zone, in the area, it means purely Ol Moed. Tam b'chol Eila. Tom says, now let's put all the pieces together. Yisrael chanu l'fnei Har Sinai v'karav lo. You have to understand, as we were just talking about, that Kalal Yisrael were encamped right near Har Sinai. V'yichan sham Yisrael neged ahar. V'sham amdu ad nasan l'misham l'midbar paran. That's where they stayed for almost a year until they left for towards Midbar Paran, which was supposed to be on the way to Eretz Yisrael. V'hinei aso al-moed. We know they made it al-moed. V'yikimu l'sof nei har b'mizracho. It was on the eastern side of Har Sinai. V'sham hizchilu ba'olas ha-tamid. And that's where they began the carbon tamid. V'shana ha-shenis nitztavu ha-degalim. It's only in year two that they get the tzivui on the degalim. How do we know that? The Rabban is working out from the psukim what we were taking for granted. How do you know that? That they were nitztavu ha-degalim v'shana ha-shenis? Because it says the first pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar says a lot, an important pasuk for several reasons. First pasuk Chumash Bamidbar says that gives you a date. The date line there is Rosh Chodesh Iyar. That's important for several reasons. One of which is that's the Gemara's Makom Masechet Pesachim Ve'in Muktam Ucher BaTorah, because Bamidbar Perek Aleph begins Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Bamidbar Perek Tes, which is about Karban Pesach, and then the ultimate Pesach Sheni, it begins Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's the Ein Moksum Ruch of HaTorah. But Midbar begins Rosh Chodesh Iyar. And that leads into the whole tzivui of counting the Jews, which is followed by the Degalim. So that's clearly happening a month after HaKavos HaMishkan. They're still, they haven't moved yet. Midu Ha'ol B'soch HaMachros B'Nasam. And that's, so they already had, and you see the El Moed is already up, and then it's taken down. L'fikach Amar Kassus B'kan, Ki Zavos HaTorah Lo'ol V'chol HaKarbanos. Shetziva Hashem Bahar Sinai, Biyom Tzabasov Bibar Sinai. See, says Rahman says, and that's where you have the both terms, Bahar Sinai and Bimidbar Sinai, to say it was neither one extreme nor the other extreme. It wasn't taught on Har Sinai. Lohaya Bahar Mamish, Bimakom HaKavod, Shisham Di Berim O Aseres HaDibras. It wasn't on Har Sinai, the original Matan Torah of the three sets of 40 days in Har Sinai. But on the other hand, lo b'midbar Sinai achar shenosim lefnehar. Midbar Sinai is many, many, many square miles. It's a big region. So no, ha b'midbar Sinai lefnehar b'tchumo v'karav lo v'sham ol moed. It was still in this original, when they originally encamped right around Har Sinai, the original location during those first 50 days of the Ol Moed. K'mo sharon v'tchil se'in v'ekra el Moshe v'ayedeb Hashem alami Ol Moed, hodiya osanu ata mekom Ol Moed. So Rabban says, this pasuk is saying pshat in the first pasuk in Vayikra. It's mushlam by the last pasuk in Perek Zayin. In other words, don't think, even though the Ramban is not such a liberal applier of Imbuk and Ruch Torah, but still, don't think that the Vayikra and beginning of Tzav were taught at some point later in the Midbar. No. Vayikra and Tzav were taught right, Vayikra Shem Moshe, Vayikra Shem Moshe, Vayikra Shem Moshe, that could be anywhere. That could be down the road also. So if you're working with this, again, the Ramban tends in general to assume, as we discussed in the past, does not apply a muktam uchah tar very liberally. Rabban assumes that things are in order and was otherwise specified. So we probably would have guessed anyways that if a yikra comes before Shemini, if a yikra comes before Baaloscha, so presumably it's while the Jews are still encamped at Har Sinai. He says, but the Torah wants to stress that. And that's actually something worth pondering. Why is it the Torah wants to stress that? What's the Chumash drive in? Apparently this is an important thing to recognize, that Karbanos were taught, that Maisar Karbanos were taught at the very, very beginning. Maisar Karbanos, the Kalistral is still before anyone moves, before Kalistral already being taught Maisar Karbanos. Why is that significant? something we're thinking about over the course of a Shabbos Parshas Tzav. But here's a little bit of speculation. Perhaps it's to stress that they got karbanos. That they got karbanos while they were still in the ideal state. Shelo tomar that karbanos, along the lines, not the same, along the lines of the Rabban writes, b'chum shmos, that they got it's not just a response, it's not just sort of like a bidyevet. Like, they're miraglim, they're stuck in the mizbar, now they got to start bringing karbanos. And not in Eretz Yisrael, they got to start bringing karbanos. No. This was mamash l'chatchila. This is when they were in the original sort of the it was alach hachet egel, but things have been restored, things have been rebuilt. Klal Yisrael is back on track at this point for the quick pass, the direct route into the non-stop into Eretz Yisrael. This is somewhere in between Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Chaf Iyar. This is during that very the second round of ideal time. And this first round of ideal time was the Yetzias Mitzrayim all the way through up until Shavas B'Tamos. And then you have the Egel, the Shavir's Haluchas, and then it builds back up to Yom Kippur, we're back on track again. They're building the Mishkan. So Yom Kippur until Chaf Iyar, for that 6 months and 10 days, 7 months and 10 days. So it's sort of like the second round of Kali Yisrael's idyllic time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before they, again, one chet after another chet, which ultimately leads to the chet Meraglim on Tisha B'Av, and that sends us into 4 decades in the Midbar. But we're back to the Ramban, the Torah wants to stress, Karbanos were taught to Moshe Rabbeinu to teach the Kali Yisrael during this second idyllic time. Mishka was taught during the first idyllic time, and the Karbanos were taught during the second idyllic time. The Torah wants to stress that. It was all Moed, there was still the Har Sinai. It was before anything went wrong. Everything was great, and karbanos are part of the great. Karbanos are not just a tikkun, which something Rabban talks about elsewhere. Karbanos are not just fixing problems. Karbanos are meant to be an ideal. Karman chatzis, you bring a response to chet, but karbanos as a whole are not merely a response to chet. So that it could be, at this point, this is pure speculation, and that perhaps that's why it's so important. Ramban understands it's so important for the Chumash to stress exactly where tells me exactly when. Knowing that it was not on Har Sinai, but it was in the Ol Moed, which was still located right near Har Sinai, as opposed to being in the general Midbar Sinai. So that, giving me exact location, nails down the exact timing. It tells me that the Vayikra was taught somewhere between Hakamas HaMishkan, which is either Chav Gimel Adar or Aleph Nisan, more likely, and Chav Iyar. I know where I'm at, and I know that it tells me where Klal Yisrael were at in their relation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, in a very ideal state, and that's when the Tzivoy of Karbanos came, and that's when it was presented to Klal.